All right, welcome in today to Return on Podcast. I'm Tyler Jeffcoat, and this is the show where we talk about the experiences, the obsessions, and the habits of the most successful e-commerce thinkers and entrepreneurs. You know, guys, just as a reminder, this show is always brought to you by Seller Accountant. We're Seller Accountant. We do bookkeeping. We do fractional CFO. Our mantra is smart, growing, thriving brand founders can do anything to a certain point, but they can't do everything. So when it's time to offload your bookkeeping, to dump the bookkeeping headache, to get better financial analysis, cash flow forecasting, SKU and channel level profitability, that kind of thing, you know, go to our website, selleraccountant.com, and find us. We'd love to become a part of your team. And just to pivot into what today's discussion is going to be, guys, Yoni is such a monster in the e-commerce space. Yoni Kosminski, he's founded several brands. He's managing a team of more than 100 employees. He is actually acting as a fund manager for a multi-million dollar Amazon company at the moment, while also doing consulting and process building and helping people build offshore teams through his companies, Ascala and Multiply Me. You're going to love this discussion with Yoni about what it looks like to pivot your mindset from being a lone wolf into a actual business owner. And then he's going to give us some incredibly practical steps, step one, step two, step three, to get from where you are to where you want to be. So without further ado, let's dive into the interview with Yoni Kosminski from Ascala. It's time to maximize profitability and cash flow. It's time to learn habits and hacks from the best e-com CEOs. It's time for Return on Podcast with me, Tyler Jeffcoat. All right, guys, you're in for a treat today. I want to welcome you to today's episode of ROP. I've got my friend Yoni Kosminski in the house today. Yoni, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Tyler. How are you, mate? Always a pleasure.
Yeah, like life is good. I'm well. I was telling you before we hit record here that this is the time of year where I've been able to practice the discipline I know I needed to do often, which is get off grid and recalibrate my own life so that I can be prepared to lead my team and be a partner for my wife and be a dad for my kids. And so I'm coming off the high, dude. I was out in the woods by myself for a couple of days, and it changed everything for me like it always does. And shame on me for not doing it every quarter. It's probably been a year since I've done it. So how about you, man? Anything new happening in your life that you're excited about here?
I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about it. I'm in a precarious region of the world living here in Israel. So, you know, I'm just hoping for a brighter future for the region and for the madness to end soon. But in general, I feel very blessed and grateful that, you know, I can start to turn my attention back to work and, you know, to sort of live that Israeli spirit of just getting on with it in, you know, despite the hardships that are sort of thrown at you. So yeah, just feeling very grateful that I can be here on this podcast and be with you.
Well, as we're recording this on a Wednesday morning here, we're celebrating, I think you said, 5 days of a ceasefire. So we'll continue to pray for momentum and for hostages to be released and for peace. And that's yeah, man, we love you, dude. I'm sorry that you guys have been going through this and grateful to see momentum. You know, Yoni, there's no elegant way to pivot from like real life, like how do we protect our families in a conflict, to scaling businesses. But let's do it. I think you have so much of your journey that I respect, Yoni. You've been involved with several startups. You're at the helm of some really successful enterprises. But the one I want to like start for today is you've told me that in 2017, you joined a brand that was selling on Amazon that was at 2 million. You helped take it to 5 million. There's a really important chasm of scale that you had to cross or help that team across during that time. Can you walk us through a little of that journey and what that was like and what you learned?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you did that really eloquently, Tyler. I'll call it out. Credit where credit's due. So look, I'll say in my journey since that period, you know, we're looking at five or so years on since that experience, that the fundamentals of what I've seen in the subsequent businesses remain to be the same. And what I saw in that business is what I see today, is that you are placed with really talented, motivated, incredible founders who love to build products and come up with ideas and tinker and create and design and build and make. And And that is still the case. And that is, I think, the beauty of the e-commerce world and the FBA space and everything in between. And when I came into that business, I found two great founders who really loved what they did, built great products, knew their shit, understood their ideal client profile, you know, understood back then all the, you know, gray somewhat tactics that existed back then and the things that you could get away with. And ultimately, they had gotten to a point where they were almost a victim of their own success. And what I mean by that is that they could do everything because they were smart and they were passionate and they were motivated. And so they did everything. And when I stepped into this business, what I understood is it made complete sense that they were stuck at 2 million in revenue, is because you can't be the person who's responsible for media buying and creative and listing optimization and keyword research and inventory management and product and supply chain and logistics and rebates and like everything that was going on rebates back in the day, right? But essentially you cannot at some point, you can't get your hands around everything. And so the journey that I went on with these guys was I'd spent 10 years prior to that in creative agency land. I'd built, you know, I'd grown up in agencies delivering work for Sony, MasterCard, Mercedes-Benz, Medtronic, you know, the largest clients in the world with small agencies. And effectively what I was able to do with my co-founder Lippy, who's, I would say, much more of an operational genius than I am, is that we came together and we effectively outsourced the work. So we built an agency. We were able to define goals and objectives and a vision around the business. And we were actually able to interview the founders and say, hey, what are the things that you really want to be doing? And we were able to actually get them to sit in those seats and accelerate things like product development and really invest more heavily on how we could create a sense of differentiation while having a team that was realistically, you know, we added about 15 headcount, mostly out of the Philippines, from designers and project managers to a customer support team. Before we'd come in, the founder and CEO of the company probably spent 80% of his time on customer support. And his rationale for that was, this is the only place where you actually get to have an interaction with the customer when you talk about Amazon FBA. And so for him, it was the most important thing. And I agreed that the value is there in what he was doing, but how he was doing was not it. And so I'll stop there, Tyler, and share, like, that was sort of the journey that we went on. And I think this is still true to this day for a lot of incredible founders.
Yeah, I think what, if I could summarize what you just said, because you said it really, really well, my tagline version of that is that as a smart brand founder, you can do anything. It's amazing what you can do, but you can't do everything forever. And the reason, and this is the reason that more businesses kind of, what do they say? They fail from indigestion instead of starvation, right? You build enough plates that you're spinning that you actually have created a monster that destroys your life, and you spend 80% of your time responding to emails. Yes, because you love your customers, but also because you are scared to death that the entire thing's going to fall apart if you don't do that every day. And so I think that there's a pretty important mindset shift that we talk about frequently here on Return on Podcast of, like, am I a lone wolf with a pile of hacks, or am I building a business? And it really is kind of a hard mindset shift. I mean, what have you learned about, like, pivoting the mental part of this? Because there's some, like, execution stuff we're going to lay on people. Guys, we're going to give you some execution stuff, but, like, I don't want to spend the money. I don't know how to lead people. I don't know. What do you feel like gets in people's way when it comes to kind of building an actual company?
Yeah, great question. And there is a lot of different pathways that I think goes through the mind of a founder in trying to overcome, you know, what is that next level and how do I actually build a company versus being that lone wolf, like you've really eloquently outlined. I would say the first thing, to be a little bit more philosophical here, is asking yourself the question, who do I want to be and what do I want to be doing? And I think that just like in our consulting practice where we build systems for e-commerce sellers, is that the first thing before you can design a dream future state where you're working, you know, 20% of the time that you are on 100% of the things that you love, you really need to understand firstly, what is it that I want to be doing first? And then second, what are the skill sets that I bring to the table so that I can focus on them and acknowledge that I am, you know, I'm not going to die of indigestion as opposed to, you know, that great analogy you just gave here. So that's the first thing, is having clarity on what you're both best at and what you want to do. And I think one of the really important philosophical steps that needs to be taken here is an understanding that you're just not good at everything. And if you have an ego in this game, it's never going to serve you. And I'll say, as someone who's running a company that has 100 full-time employees, and, you know, we've grown from this over the course of a handful of years here, I'm not a great manager. That's not my skill set. And I don't intend to be the best manager, but I have an incredible co-founder. I brought on another incredible business partner who have complementary skill sets to me. And I think coming back to the point I'm trying to make here is that I understand where I sit, as people need to understand where they sit. And it's bringing in the complementary pieces to enable you to accelerate that growth.
Yeah, I want to mention, you brought up two books to mind here, both written by Dans. So first book I want to mention to you is Dan Martell's Buy Back Your Time. This is one of my favorites from 2023. I read it really early on. And I just redid my energy audit, Yoni, this past week, where I went through, I'm trying to put boots on what you just said because it was so powerful. If I could make a list, and I do this in a spreadsheet because I'm an accountant, you do it wherever you want to. If I can make a list of everything that I spend energy on during the course of a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and I'm going to go through that list twice. The first time I'm going to try to assign a Google style value. This is either a $4 sign restaurant, or it's a $2 sign restaurant, or it's a $1 sign restaurant. Basically, what's it going to cost me to replace this particular task? Or how much value does it generate for my end customer, however you want to view it. And then I'm going to go through that list a second time, and I'm either going to color it green because this task gives me energy, it gives me life, I love it. Or I'm going to color it some color. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, so I'm going to color it ugly orange, because that's most of the teams I don't like are orange, for the tasks that suck my soul out of me. I got to do them, but I don't want to. And I think what I found is that allows me to build a very simple job description for an executive assistant or for an integrator, if I'm going to bring that number two in. And then the second book I want to mention really quickly, and then I'll get your response to that, is Dan Sullivan co-wrote a book called Who Not How. And it's this idea that the most powerful luck that I can encounter in my business life is the luck of finding the right colleague, the Robin, the Batman to my Robin, or the Robin to my Batman. I need to find my sidekick. I need to find the person that you described, your business partners, that have that complementary skill set, the things I'm awful at. And by the way, I'm grateful to have this. The things I'm terrible at, Ashley is great at. The things that Ashley and I are terrible at, Savannah's great at. And so the three of us make a very competent leadership team where any one of us would be a hot mess. And it sounds like you're kind of similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's keep digging into this discussion a little bit here then, Yoni. We've made the decision. 2024, I've had enough, Yoni. This has been a stressful year. I've been spinning 28 plates. I can't spin them anymore. Ego has no place in this anymore. It's time for me to grow. And you said this before we hit live, but you made the comment of what it takes to get out of your own way. And so let me just ask that as a question. I'm a seven-figure brand owner, and I've realized I'm in my own way. How do I get out of my own way?
Well, it's funny that you should ask me that, Tyler. I'm actually midway through putting a presentation together for Prosper next year on operational excellence and how to build scale into your Amazon business. And so what I'm leveraging is a lot of Escala's methodology on how we approach it. And I've spent a tremendous amount of time now trying to break it down to the most simple form so that people in a 50-minute presentation can actually understand some really high level management consulting concepts. So coming back to the points that I was calling out before, we have a framework internally that takes five layers to it when we build process. And when we get on a call, most people are saying, I don't care about my current state, just build me my dream state, just build the future for me. And And it is the cardinal sin for anyone to simply try and work into what is optimal and what is perfect in their mind. And that is because you need to have a fundamental understanding of what is actually happening in your business operation. But when we're talking about an individual trying to get out of their own way, you have to understand how you're investing your time. You have to do exactly like you've done, Tyler, and have a Excel spreadsheet or a mirror board or whatever it is that you're going to use to actually understand how you're investing your time. Another way to look at it, for, you know, giving you guys some hacks as well and a piece of advice for people who are just starting on this journey to figure it out. The way I approach it is I time block out every single minute of my day in my calendar. So what I'll do is I have a color-coded calendar. Actually, Google updated it probably in the last 6 months, where you can put tags and it'll give you a breakdown. And what I'll do is I'll actually look at things like deep work, or, you know, if we talk, you know, e-commerce or Amazon language, like how much time am I spending on PPC and media buying versus inventory management versus et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then what I'll do is I'll do one of two things. One, I'll look at how valuable was that time investment? Did it move the needle forward? So much like your perspective, and also the green, did it give me energy, or was this something that really bogged me down? And just on that baseline, looking at how you're spending your week and understanding what's giving you energy, what's providing value, and how you can approach it, you can reverse engineer and even add, you know, as a framework, a 1 to 5, 5 being something that has to be critically you, and a 1 that could easily be delegated away to someone else. And let's take the example of PPC management. You don't need to sit there and do all of the keyword research yourself and go through it. You know, every single person who's running businesses, especially if they're hitting 7 figures, whether it's written down or not, you're running a system and a process. Yeah. You just are doing it, you know, in a lot of times just in your mind, and it's innate. So coming back to it, the first thing is having a high degree of understanding of what's happening. And I recommend that you actually write all of these things down so that you can look at it, you can assess it, and you can work your way through it. The next step in understanding how you're actually operating, and again, it will depend on the size of your business, right? If you're a 7-figure seller, you know, I would be hard pressed to imagine that if you're a solopreneur, you know, good on you, but also I feel bad for you. If that's your reality, you know, running a $3-5 million business as a one woman or one man show, that's something I wouldn't wish on my, maybe not my worst enemy, but I wouldn't wish it on, I wouldn't wish it on many people. Right.
Yeah.
So coming back to it, you need to understand how that actually all connects together with the rest of your operation. So you actually need to start going through the process of understanding what are the big drivers inside of the business. So, you know, let's use a really simple example here. You'll have a marketing function, you'll have a supply chain or inventory function, you will have your, you know, a product development function, and your customer support function might be your big 4 core functions. And you need to get clarity on how those interact. And then you need to take one step further down and understand what is actually being done in each one of those functions to actually have it achieved. So it's a little harder not to have a slide deck up here and show you guys, but just to sort of talk your way through it. So you would be effectively looking at, you know, at a high level, what's happening in the business. And then you'd go one more layer down and you'd say, who is actually doing what, and what are they doing, and how do they interact with one another? And once you get to what we would define as a layer 3 or a level 3 here, you already have a deep sense of understanding of what's happening in your business, where are the bottlenecks, you know, where are the gaps, and you can go through a process that we call validation, where you'll actually bring in, you know, let's say you had a conversation with your PPC manager and your keyword researcher and your designer, and you spoke to each of them individually, and one of them thought that that was how you did a launch, but they other thought, and so you'd actually bring them all together and have that conversation. And what you'll find is that there's tremendous amount of already knowledge gaps that you could fix right there and then. So I'd say, you know, it's a long-winded answer for you, but getting clarity on what is happening in your business is the first step to making a material change.
I think that's big, and it is easy to want to skip that step, especially for those of us who are visionary leaders, where I know I just I just told you, I was out in the woods by myself earlier this week, Yoni. I know what I want now. I don't want to focus on what I failed at this past year. I'm done with that. I'm moving forward. And yet, continue buffering your point there. I did an exercise 3 years ago called Come As You Will Be in 23, where I was setting some key things for my personal life and professional life. And this is the month right here in December of 2023, where I was like, okay, this is the culmination. I did a terrible job of documenting in those goals what my beginning state was. Like I would realize this past week. I'm like, man, I know what my weight goal was. I don't remember where I was 3 years ago. Or, you know, I know what my goals were for my relationship with Emily, my wife, or with my kids. I don't remember what they looked like in the beginning. And so what I can't do is I can't tell what I did that worked and what didn't work. Right. I mean, that's maybe an oversimplification, but this week, as I was rewriting my future goals for myself, I'm doing a better job of saying, hey, where am I starting? Okay, where I'm starting is I'm at this weight, or this is how many times a month I take my wife on a date, or this is what I'm eating. So that, because I think this is the what I'm hearing you say, Yoni, and this is so powerful. If there was an easy like SOP that worked with every single business, Yoni would have already published the book, you and I would have bought it, and we would have successful businesses. We don't know 100% what is going to work in Seller Accountant or a Scala or Multiply Me or any business of you guys listening to this until we actually get something consistent and then measure it and tweak it and pivot it based on what is good. And what. Now, there's some best practices. Like I can teach you how to bad hire all day long because I've made a lot of bad hires. I can teach you how to not manage money really quickly because I've failed to manage money before. But like, knowing where you're at and then actually carefully measuring the progress, I guess, is the key. Am I saying that right, Yoni? Is that like the key for unlocking that value?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you actually touched on a point that I often laugh about when I'm getting on discovery calls from time to time for a Scala. It's like people are like, just give me all the SOPs. Like, I'll just pay you for the IP and the SOPs. And you know, like I wish that was the business I was in. I mean, I would love to take that cookie cutter approach and just, you know, sell the same thing over and over and over and do absolutely no work. But the reality, unfortunately, is you have to have a degree of awareness that you're not going to move from, you know, in our methodology, like an initial level one to a level five of optimized in a day. You know, it's about incremental improvements. And I think this is true for everyone listening in here, is that don't try and change the world in a day. You know, those little 1% increments, with the first being getting that clarity on what's happening inside of your business and who you want to be inside of it and what you want to do and understanding what your strengths and weaknesses are to build toward, you know, like you call out, Tyler, making a good hire and saying, right, this is someone that, you know, if you're the visionary type like I am and like Tyler is, then you need the integrator, the person who is the detail orientated, meticulous, methodical, systems driven individual who will really think through, you know, the next 10 steps and to the details that just unfortunately, you know, won't interest me because I'm already thinking about, you know, what does the next 15 businesses look like and how do they all come together magically on this sort of, you know, 10-year time frame and how do you pull that all together? So coming back to it, I feel like more e-commerce entrepreneurs would fall in our camp than they would in the other camp. And I'd say that the integrators are out there and they exist and they love what they do. You know, I know Filippi, his passion is managing people and seeing their personal growth and development and their evolution and building in these frameworks. He lives for it and he's the very best at it. And he doesn't want to do any of the stuff I'm doing. And I definitely do not want to do all the stuff he's doing. That's would be a recipe for disaster for literally everyone involved. And I think right. That, you know, this is really what we're talking about here is getting that clarity.
Okay. So I'm the $2 million brand. Step one was to kind of understand my baseline, what's actually happening within my business. Yoni, where do I turn next? Again, I'm on a quest from 2 to 5. I want to actually build a business. I'm tired of being a lone wolf. I got some idea of what's happening under the hood now of my company. Where do I go next?
So there's several different places that you're going to need to look at in order to take that next step. The first is once you've got that clarity on what's happening and where you want to be and what's the processes that are happening, the shift then becomes, how do I now build an accountability around each of the different functions inside of that business? So how do I stop being, and you know, one of the most common problem statements we're solving for is how do you stop being the decision maker for every single decision that's happening inside the business? So the first shift is, once you have that clarity in what's going on in the business, is to now define, right, I have someone who is really analytical, loves data, and is already buying my media. Don't tell them how to buy the media or how that's working. Tell them that my expectation is, you know, whatever, 20% tacos, no more, no less, you know, exist in this, you know, in this existence, launch as many campaigns, spend as much money, whatever it is. But these are the five parameters, for example, that you would have to live. Maybe don't spend as much money as possible, right? We're all trying to make sure that our business is cash flowing. I know how important that stuff is, right, Tyler? But ultimately, you know, set the parameters and delegate the accountability away, not the tasks. And that's already going to be a material step change in the way in which you're operating your business. I would say that's sort of the next critical step. Once you're in a point where it's not just you making those decisions, the next step is, how do I now get all the critical information pieces that I need in order to then continue to have the data set to make those longer term decisions? Because I think for a lot of people listening in here, and if any of this has resonated with you, you know, the push pull and the apprehension is, but if I don't do all of the things, then how am I going to know what's happening? And right. I'm going to lose control. And, you know, the founder of that Amazon business that I did grow from 2 to 5, and, you know, someone that I actually really don't see eye to eye with in terms of how they see the world. And, you know, he always used to tell me in Hebrew, he used to say to me, like, we are the business. You and me, we are the business. We're the most important people. And I would counter him every time, and I would say, if that's how you think about this business, then we're not cut of the same cloth here, because I'm always trying to make myself the least important person in the business. I want to be redundant. I just took a month off, Tyler, to deal with, you know, the reality of what I've been dealing with here. And let me tell you, the business is running beautifully, performing better than when I'm in it. And that's what everyone on this, anyone listening in here should be looking to build toward, is to get yourself out of your own way and not be there. So coming back to it, you got the understanding of the business. You know what is happening. You're looking for areas for improvement, things that could be better, processes that maybe you don't need to be there from soup to nuts, but just need to give, as the founder, CEO, an approval. This product should be launched. This product shouldn't be launched. Mm-hmm. Go back and have a look at steps 1 through 5. And then having that accountability and then building that framework. And I know we both talk a lot about the entrepreneurial operating system, Traction, you know, building a framework into your business where you're getting all those information sets, you know. And for me, I have one meeting a week, the L10 meeting, that is part of the, you know, check out Traction. If I'm sure you've spoken about it already on the podcast, I would be shocked if you hadn't. Yeah. And, you know, go and look up the L10 framework, because in 90 minutes, not only do I understand everything that's happening in my business from every single function's performance, growth, challenges, et cetera, 90-day rolling goals, every bit of information, are they on track or off track and what that looks like. But I've spent the bulk of that meeting talking with the most senior people in the business on all of the challenges that have come up in that week timeframe, and we solve them. We work through solving them. So I would say those are, you know, if you can get even half of the things right that I'm sharing with you now, and these are new concepts to you, then you're already miles ahead of, you know, a significant number of, you know, the average e-commerce sellers.
Yeah, and I think I'll second that. I mean, you and I have talked about Traction EOS a lot, Yoni, where we're fans of it. I've been a fan and a kind of hobbyist for about a decade. When I started my first company, but in the past year and a half, we've actually become very, very committed to the details of implementing EOS. And I just want to say this to you guys, because there are two different kinds of founders. I found this is more complex than just two, but there are very, very visionary founders. And then there are very, very smart, detail-oriented founders. It's interesting. Like in an e-commerce world, Yoni, we kind of see both. We see some guys that if you were to take a personality assessment, you would have a really high detail orientation. You really like to analyze the data yourself. You're very comfortable having control over everything. You're just a hard worker. You don't want to lead people. And if that's you, which is not me and Yoni, but if that's you, then your temptation is going to be to never let go of the vine and let other people do the work. And for you, implementing EOS, having scorecards, having the ability to create visibility into what's happening so that you know it's done to your standard is the only way you're going to be able to sleep at night and actually delegate. For those of us who are the me and Yoni, the visionary, which is a lot of you guys also, my temptation, and I'm not sure if this is you, Yoni. Let me just say this. Yoni is a much more effective leader than I am. So let me just say, this is where I struggle with it, is I can tend to delegate before I've clarified what I want to have happen. Like, I don't struggle with telling you how to do it, Yoni. I'm going to be like, hey, man, you see that hill? We're taking that hill. You're empowered. Go. And what I do is I leave. I abdicate. I leave before I've clarified the intent of the mission. And so as a leader who's a strong visionary, I've had to force myself. I've been like, wait a minute, Tyler, if I do 10% more clarifying of what the commander's intent is, I can actually pull back and it'll be successfully executed going forward. That might take the form of actually documenting my SOP, how I've been doing it. That might take the form of having a 90-day meeting where we have rocks and some of the traction stuff. But I don't know, have you found that dynamic to be true where like the owner founder's wiring probably determines which ditch they're more likely to fall into as a leader?
Yeah. I would say you're probably giving me, firstly, too much credit in terms of my capabilities. Versus, I think I'm a great cheerleader. I think I actually would agree. I feel like I'm a great leader and a motivator and getting people behind the cause and the mission and all of that, much like you would be. But the solutions that I've been able to find for myself is coming back to some of the early topics is, I'll give you a tangible example for me right now. About 9 months ago, I took over our marketing team. So I had a guy in the seat, wasn't quite working out. I said, you know what? That's my background. I love it. I'm passionate about it. You know, when you are the founder owner, you obviously know how to talk about your product or your service better than, you know, better than anyone because you've come up with the whole construct, right? Or, you know, a good part of it, and you're really sitting behind it. So what I've been able to do is I've been really able to understand that, you know, I go and think, you know, I think at a million miles an hour, and it can be hard for people to keep up. And it's not because I'm smarter than anyone else. It's just, that's the way I'm wired, is I'm thinking, right, and I'm bringing really abstract pieces together. And I often lose people, even my business partners. They're like, I have no idea what you're talking about now. Like, can you just, and then I'll have to sort of slow it down. And what I've done in my team now, sitting in the marketing team, is I brought in an incredible project manager, shout out to you, B, who has been able to effectively build in these processes now where we're sitting, we're talking about it, and I explain the project, I'm working with the team, we're brainstorming, and then we build that into a framework. And then I've been really blessed lately. One of our management consultants out of Escala, who's been with us for over 3 years now, Tull, she's joined the team as well. So I now have two of these incredible women who are both so detail oriented, are all about follow through, and have effectively restructured everything from, I used to be sitting in, I want to call it no less than 12 to 15 hours a week of meetings, no joke, internal meetings with the marketing team, how I was running it. Brought the two of them in now. I now sit in 4 hours max worth of marketing meetings. I've gone from 70% of my time to about 30% of my time focused on marketing. And that's a combination of, we use an index called the BME, Build, Manage, Execute Index. And it's a way in which you can sort of, when you look at an org chart, you can design out how much time you look at and assess how much time is someone spending building, managing, and executing. And I love building and I love executing, and I am terrible at managing. So when you look at sort of the bar chart for me, you'll see I have a large amount of build, a very tiny amount of manage, and a solid amount of execution as well. And so I think that's also just a really important thing, is that even if you aren't the type of person that will ever possess those skill sets, and I'm comfortable and subscribe to the fact that I just want to get better at the things that I'm already, you know, innately wired to be good at. And I want to bring in all the other people who are really, really good at these things that they love and they're passionate about. And they, you know, and just to give you like an example that's going on right now, that presentation that I talked to you about, I've been working on it with Tal for a few days. And, you know, I came up with Lippy. I spoke to him and I said, I really want to do like a practical example for Amazon sellers on something that they can walk away and they can say, this is something I can go home and implement. So I've taken the product development process and we've broken it apart and we've said, this is what's stopping you. If you're launching one product a day, that'd be nice. If you're launching one product a year, this is how you can launch 100. And we're literally pulling apart that sort of before and after and that journey that you go on in order to achieve that. And that's what I've been able to do here is effectively go through that process by finding the right people that have those complementary skills that allows me to sit here and be on a podcast in an area that I'm energized and would just love to share anything that's helped me get ahead in life. I would love to gift that to everyone.
Yep. So let's talk about hacks for a second. So there's a reason that you are going to be speaking at Prosper and other shows on building scale into businesses. There's a reason that I'll probably be there with you on that same Optimize Your Business track, talking about profitability and cash flow. The reason is that that's what you and I do. Like, we're great at that part of helping, you know, $1 million sellers become $10 million sellers. My question for you is, and this is what you and I always hope, obviously, the reason that Yoni can't package this as IP, that unpacking your product launch and repacking it and sell it to you as a $199 course, the reason is that you won't do it because you're too busy. You have other things on your plate. And so, Yoni, my question for you is the hack side of this. Okay, I get it, Yoni. I get it. I need to do this, like understanding what my baseline is. I need to be measuring things differently. Probably going to have to hire some folks. How does your team kind of step in and kind of accelerate? Like, that's a shortcut. How do you shortcut that journey to help people get where they want to be?
The way we shortcut the process, and I use that word with caution. I mean, it's a massive shortcut in the grand scheme of things when we talk about time. But, you know, when we talk about what it is to do in a Scala project or an engagement, you know, you're looking at 4 to 6 months worth of work where the consulting team will do 90% of the work and you'll be supportive in 10%. And I would say that what the team are actually doing in that work is, you know, I'm talking to you guys about sort of like the self-diagnosis and I'm sharing you all the things that we as a business do. So we deploy 2 management consultants into the company. They interview, they shadow, they review, they build all these process maps. They look for the areas for improvement. They deliver a strategy deck that shows you all the areas where you can improve around people, process, and technology. They design your org structure and your accountability chart and all the job descriptions. They build out all the SOPs and training videos and documentation. So it's a long way of saying, Tyler, that there is no real shortcut in all this. I can definitely throw away things that, you know, are tools and things that can definitely help people on this journey and things that, you know, when you talk about documenting processes, tools that I personally use, even outside of the consulting practice work that we do to remind myself, but also to you know, work with my team in the way in which I like to see things work. But the truth is, There is no quick fix. Like, the logic and the rationale is that you need to take the time to understand, to think through and design. And coming back to your point, and why, you know, we can't just package this as $199, you know, done for you thing is or do it yourself thing where you just take this course, is that it takes hundreds and hundreds of hours to do this right across your whole business. So probably not the answer you were looking for, but I didn't want to sugarcoat it.
No, but I think you answered it perfectly. It's almost, I can't remember, this is probably was Gerber, I don't know who it was, but one of those books that talks about the difference in like carrying water in buckets versus building a pipeline that'll carry the water for you. What we're not saying is that building a pipeline is easy. We're not saying that building a pipeline is even cheap. We're not saying that building a pipeline doesn't require you to bring in expertise you don't already have. I think what we're saying here, and this is really important, is that if you've spent your career personally carrying buckets of water, and you eat only when that water reaches the destination, and you can pivot to where you have invested your energy in building a pipeline, then, you know, if something something happens in your world, like it happened in Yoni's, and you need to take a month off, you can come back and your business is healthier than it was when you left. And so I think that is, it's funny. It's a shortcut because walking to a city that's 100 miles away is really easy on the one hand, but it's a whole hell of a lot harder than getting in a car and driving there. Well, I got to buy or build the car. And so we got to buy or build this business so that it can handle the stress of going from 2 to 5 million. I think you answered it perfectly, Yoni. Any other thoughts on that before we kind of close shop here today?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really great analogy and a really great insight. And, you know, I'm someone who has fortunately just lived through an internal Escala project with Tull coming onto my team about 3 months ago. The truth is, I don't know that I would have been able to walk away for a month if she hadn't have been really excited about marketing and me, you know, kind of luring her into saying, well, why don't you just come and work in the team? But the journey for me, and this will be true for everyone, is that once you have that clarity and understanding and realize, you know, I don't want to spend 12 hours, 15, 18 hours a day on, you know, working in my business, not taking holidays. Like once you make that decision and you make those material steps, you know, you'd be amazing that there is a period of hard work, whether you self-administer and go through it yourself or whether you leverage a resource like us. Once you go through that process and once you understand the value proposition of when you delegate those accountabilities to someone else and you get the visibility that you need to make good decisions and you start to live this new reality, it's very hard to go back to how things were. And I would say I, at this point, have no ability to go back. Like the idea of starting a new business from scratch without, you know, Escala as a resource is just, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Not going to do it. Yeah, I get it, man. Well, it's just a personal story here, guys. Every time I make a bad hire, I'm just talking about people resources here, and have to either part ways or the person leaves, I have all the stats out there about like take like 4 times that person's annual salary. Like it's been worse than that for us. Like, and so like, I just don't be short-sighted, friends. If you are struggling to build your business, bring in good coaches, good consultants, good experts like Yoni and his team. Have worked with them in the past. Love these guys. They do a great work. I completely just affirm everything that he has said. Yoni, final question here. This is the hack. This is the personal life hack question. Listen, we're guaranteeing people a return on their investment. This is ROP. That's what we call the podcast here. Is there a current rhythm, habit, hack, practice that you feel like is giving you an outrageous ROI in your life right now?
I would say, generally speaking, I'll give you the hacks that have given me an outrageous ROI. I've fallen off the bandwagon a little bit lately, but in general, sure, the routine that I have when I am at my absolute best, it exists in investing, I would say, maybe 30 minutes a day of my time, and has a, you know, it's an unfair advantage in terms of what I'm able to achieve on the back of it. So the two things that I would do on a every single day, daily basis, and I think my record was about 300 consecutive days of this, was I would wake up, and this is before I had a child and I had a little bit more free time, and probably one of the things, you know, you don't get to start at your own rhythm anymore like I used to a couple of years ago, but I would get up, I would meditate, I use an app, Headspace. I would spend, you know, I started at doing 10 minutes a day, 15 up to 20 and 30 minutes, you know, as you sort of get into it and you enjoy the experience. But even if you're doing 10 minutes a day, incredible. And then I would do my 5-minute journal, gratitude journaling. The start of the day, you write in it, 3 things that you're grateful for, 3 things that would make today great, and 1 daily affirmation, 1 thing that you really believe to be true, either currently in the present or in the future. And then you revisit that book at night. You write 3 things, three amazing things that happened in that day, and 1 thing that would have made today even better. And so I find that balance between the calm and the focus that meditation brings with that sort of balances and checks of like what you've achieved in the day and being thankful for every little thing, coupled with, you know, at least 3 times a week of exercise, you know, that's when I'm living my best life. And if you can get those things going, guys, I mean, you're unstoppable.
I love it. Hey, just to affirm you here, Yoni, something I really respect about you is, and I've spent time with you, you are this guy that lives these things. You know, when you have little kids, my kids are 9 and 11 now, so everyone wipes their own butts. Everyone takes showers on their own, right? I mean, so I think one of the gifts you can give yourself is to give yourself grace during this season. So it's okay. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good, dude. Yeah. You know, as your homie, I hope you can pick one of those habits and kind of get your streak going again. But I feel like that's been maybe my biggest improvement, because I am obsessive over my morning routine, Yoni. I'm good at it. I'm so good at it. And deleting like the anger that I would feel at myself the next day if I didn't get it done has been the biggest improvement this year in the way I view my routine. Kind of trying to own James Clear's, like, okay, I'm not going to miss twice. I missed yesterday. Yep. I was driving. I was at my mom's house. I was somewhere. I was doing something that got in the way. We're good. My identity is that I do this today. Let's try again. And so just want to encourage
great
you.
Great reminder. Awesome. Yeah, great, yeah. Great reminder. And Atomic Habits, fantastic book.
Good one. Hey, going into the new year, that's probably everyone homework. Everyone, you probably need to go brush up on James Clear's Atomic Habits. All right. He's a big fan of the show, by the way, you know, James, if you're listening. No, but so, all right, Yoni, this has been awesome, dude. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for bringing so much wisdom to the Returnal Podcast show. I'm going to make sure, guys, that you have links to get a hold of Yoni to understand more about what Escala does in terms of going and auditing those processes, helping you understand that baseline of where you're at as a company, and then giving you those kind of, they're not shortcuts, but boy, are they sure as heck more efficient than trying to carry the water yourself, kind of building exercises. So I'm going to make sure they have that, Yoni. Just really appreciate you, man. Thanks for joining us today.
I'll add as well, on our website, you've got examples like a mirror board template of building an accountability, an org chart, free with a video explainer on our Multiply Me website. It's going to be released in the next couple of weeks. It's a full guide on how to build your e-commerce org from, you know, six to seven figures and 7 to 8 figures, and how it expands the prices you should pay for talent in the Philippines, pre-built job descriptions. I mean, we're really working hard on just giving away as many resources as we can. So I'll share those links with you, and yeah, hopefully it brings some value to the audience beyond anything that we've talked about. And thank you so much for having me, Tyler.
My pleasure, Yoni. Thanks for being here, buddy. And for those of you guys who have made it, hey, these 46 minutes into a podcast, you guys are part of our gratitude journal for today. Thank you for giving us your time. We hope that you glean something that changes the way you do business and manage your life, and hope you kill it. We'll see you next week on Returnal Podcast. Cheers.